We thank the Lord for all of you. Will you open your Bibles this morning? Two passages of Scripture in the book of Psalms. I want you to turn, first of all, we'll find the book of Psalms in 107. And Psalms 107, if you'll look there. And then, if you'll hold your place in Psalms 107, I'm going to have you to turn to a New Testament passage of Scripture as well. And we're dealing with families, emphasizing family. Of course, this is Thanksgiving month. And we want to pray at the close of the service. We have a young man especially we want to pray for this morning. Also, we're going to ask God to bless the boxes. Now, we've got a deadline is tomorrow. Isn't that right? Is it today? Actually, today. So tonight, you need to be sure to get it in here tonight. And your boxes tonight. Amen. And in the bulletin, there are several other announcements. I'm not going to repeat all those. But you have your Bible open to Psalm 107. All right, now hold your place there. Turn to the book of Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1. Thank God for family. Amen. And we are praying this morning for all of our church family. We are praying especially for Ms. Brenda Hall. And we thank Jeremy's here this morning. We remember them. And again, on the behalf of the family, I want to say thank you, church, for the way you responded. Several different occasions, family members and Brenda especially said how much she appreciated all of you who went to the hospital during the week when she and Brother Jimmy were there and the family. Thank you for going up and being there and being supporting them in prayer and lifting them up. And then for all those who were here on yesterday, those who brought the food through the house and then who brought special food yesterday for the family, thank you so much for all your cards and phone calls and your interest. We're going to keep them in prayer. And we want to be there to stand with them and help them. And ask you to remember them in prayer this morning. All right, you have your Bible open. Look with me, please, in Psalms 107. Psalm 107. And I'm going to read just two verses right here. First, verse 21. Look at it with me. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness, for His wonderful works to the children of men. Isn't that good? God blesses not only us, but He blesses our heritage. He's been good to our families, been good to our children. The children of men are grandchildren like Owen and these grandchildren down here of mine and Regina's. Thank the Lord for God's goodness on us and for God's blessing. Notice what it said a little further in verse 22. And let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare His works with rejoicing. Anymore, it seems to me like there are two major holidays, and tucked in between those two major holidays in America, one being Halloween and the other being Christmas. The world doesn't mind celebrate Christmas as long as it doesn't have to say anything about Christ. Long as they can talk about other things in the season and good tidings and this, that, and the other, they don't mind that. And besides that, they make a lot of money off of it. And Halloween is getting to be one of the major holidays in America. And I remember as a boy growing up, we all did that thing too. But just to me, it seemed to me like this year, it was just really, I mean, everywhere. The stores were full of it everywhere. And I saw very little about Thanksgiving. In order to be thankful, you have to be thankful to somebody for something. And our nation's not very thankful to the one who really gave us everything we've got, and that's the Lord. They don't want to acknowledge His existence. They don't want to obey Him, don't want to serve Him. But I'm thankful you do. And I tell you, it ought to be that we recognize the birth of our Lord. We celebrate His death, burial, and resurrection at Easter. But during this time of Thanksgiving, we ought to thank the Lord for all He's done for us. It says here we ought to offer the sacrifice of thanksgiving and declare His works with rejoicing. Now turn over to the book of Philippians chapter 1 and verse number 3. Paul is writing to the church at Philippi and he mentions this to them. Verse 3, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making request with joy. And that's not the end of that sentence, but that's what I want to read. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making requests with joy. Will you bow with me for prayer? Father, I want to thank you and praise you for families. Thank you, Lord, for the blessed privilege of being in the house of the Lord. Thank you for the families that we were able to recognize this morning. God, you've given so many wonderful families. Many have been here, Lord, for years before I ever came as pastor. In the 20 years I've been here, God, you've not only have they been faithful, but God, you've added family after family to come in and love you and serve you. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for the day that Brother Jimmy and Miss Brenda Hall came to the church. And God, that you put their heart here and they jumped in and they got busy and they've served you and loved you. And I do thank you for them. And God, I pray your blessing now on Brenda. I pray your blessing on Jeremy. I pray for Crystal and for Missy. Pray for Noah and for all the family. Lord, I continue to ask you to bless them. Now, Lord, thank you for other families that are here today. We ask your blessing on those who couldn't be here. We pray for Bobby and Lee today. Now, Father, I ask you to touch them. God, they've been having sickness now since the end of September. And I know, Lord, they've missed so being here. But, God, I pray you'd bless them. I pray, God, that this will be a good week for them, that Leah begin to recuperate. And, Lord, you'd bless Brother Bobby, that he'd be well. We ask, God, your blessing on Jerry and Jane Sherwood. And we pray, God, Lord, for Brother Mel and Kathy. We pray, our Father God, for Brother Terry Hobbs and his wife, Kathy, and others of our church family, Lord, who've not been well, Lord, who've had surgeries and are now recovering. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you've been good to us. And Lord, you bless Blaine, and he's done so well with his surgery and others of our church family. I want to thank you, our Father, that God, you've given us a closeness here. And that closeness is our fellowship in the gospel. And God, I pray this morning, if there's a man or a woman, a boy or girl in the building or in the sound of my voice that's not part of the family of God, I pray, Father, they'd be born again by the grace of God, that they get saved. Now, God, give me your anointing. I pray, God, you'd quicken my body, give me strength. I pray, Father, you'd fill me with the Holy Ghost. And God, I pray you'd speak. Now, Father, this may be the very last service that somebody in this room gets to be in. It may be the last service, last time they'll get to come and be a part of this church family. It may be the last opportunity they have to be saved. And I pray, God, you'd save. And God, we'll thank you and praise you, God, for doing that and saving them in Jesus' name. Lord, help us now. We'll thank you and praise you for what you do in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. A lot of things you and I ought to be thankful for. We ought to be thankful for the material blessings of the Lord. But you know, God's been good to everybody. The Bible said God makes it rain on the just and the unjust. There are people around this world that have experienced the blessings of God. They don't know him. They've rejected him. They don't believe in him. They don't live for him. But he's still a good God. The sun that causes our crops to ripen causes their crops to ripen. The rain that comes down, the Bible said he makes it rain on the just and the unjust. He's blessed people around this world. He's blessed us with so many physical blessings. And beyond anything we could all imagine, God's been good to us to bless us in physical ways and with what we call temporal blessings. And we're to thank him for all of them. Don't take any of it for granted. And always thank the Lord and be thankful for his goodness and grace to us and praise him for the physical thing. But then you and I have a special blessing. And that is the fact those who know the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible said that we were dead in trespasses and sin. There was none that doeth good, no, not one. There's none that seeketh after God, no, not one. The Lord Jesus Christ came to me and you if you're saved, and he convicted you of your sin. He spoke to you through a preacher or through a mom or dad or somebody else or through the scriptures or through a tract or through some means. He spoke to you. And he showed you your need of a Savior. And he convicted you. And then he saved you and gave you everlasting life. Your sins are gone. Heaven is your home. A while ago when the choir were singing and they were talking about open up, pull back the curtain of heaven, I was just thinking about that, Brother Brad. I was just thinking if in this morning we're looking across the congregation and many of us look tired. And I know some of you are missing our loved one who's not here today. And maybe you're thinking about Brenda and the family. But boy, I tell you, if we could reach back up here and pull a big cord and open up heaven and look inside of heaven this morning, I'm going to tell you right now, you'd see a hallelujah time. Amen. Brother Jim would be shouting on the other side and others who are saved, our loved ones who are there. Man, listen, to know that they're alive, they're not dead, they're alive and they're rejoicing and they're looking for us to be there. What a time that would be. Thank God for the hope of heaven. The Bible said we sorrow, but we don't sorrow as those who have no hope. It's a natural thing. You know, if you have a loved one who leaves this country and goes to a foreign country to live or to serve in military. And we've got some young men right now training in military. And I know it's hard on the family, particularly coming up to the holidays. And we know they're well. And we've got a granddaughter serving with the USO overseas. And you think about those things and we miss them. And we may even cry a little bit. But we do know one thing, the Lord willing, we'll see them, they'll be coming back. But for those who have loved ones in heaven, we don't sorrow as those who have no hope. We sorrow because they're not with us right now and we can't touch them or hold them or kiss them. But we don't sorrow as those who have no hope because, praise God, we know the day's coming. And it won't be long before we'll get to go to heaven and be with them. And so I thank the Lord for that. You thank the Lord for your salvation. Thank the Lord for the promise of heaven. But this morning, I want us to be especially mindful of this. Paul, writing to the church at Philippi, said this, "I thank my God upon every remembrance of you." Now, I can think back over my life in ministry, and in these 50 years, I think about folk who've been a blessing to me from the time I was a little boy and for some men in our church who took me under their wing and just spent time with me, for a young preacher named Ted James that came to our church. And Ted James was different than some of the other preachers we'd had. Ted James came to our church. He loved to hunt and fish. He was a real man. He played ball with us. The boys played baseball and everything. And we'd go on camping trips and hiking. And wherever we went, to Ted James, Jesus was real. I mean, God was real out in the woods. He's real in the creek bank. He was real when he was hunting, real when he was fishing. He was real. He made Christ real to me. And I got saved under his ministry there. I thank the Lord for that. I thank the Lord for those wonderful memories. And then I think about so many friends I've got now, not just here, but other places. And when I think about them, I think about them like Paul said, "I thank my God upon every remembrance of you." When I think about them and I think about people in the past who've been a blessing to me. I don't think I've mentioned that, been on the phone tree, but Brother McBride, Wilbur McBride, went home to be with the Lord this past week. And our good friend, he's been here, he's preached in this church, he's preached over in the old church. And Dr. McBride was a great man of God, loved the Lord. He was a great friend. We've had wonderful times. I preached in Germany with him, and we had good times over there. And then he was with us several times in camp meeting, and he and I have had a chance. He was with me down in Valdosta, Georgia. We fished together. And I remember one time we went fishing with Brother Mac, and we went to this private pond. Somebody let us go in, and I got him. He got in the back of the boat, and before I could push the boat off the bank, he already had a minnow on his pole. It was a crappy pond, and they crappy were biting. And Brother Mac threw his minnow out before I could even push the boat off the bank, and he caught one sitting right there. And while he was getting him off, and before I could get the boat put back in, he put another minnow on and caught another one. So I just got in the boat. We sat there and fished a few minutes. Then I got out, and I pushed it off. But what was so funny is about the third one he caught, he took the fish off, his hook fell in the floor, and it got hooked in his shoelacing. And I pushed the boat off then. He was back there, and I was fishing, catching crappie, and he had his hook in his shoelace. And he was trying to get out. Next thing I know, he pulled out his pocket, and he cut the shoelace off and just kept right on fishing. And I always left. In fact, I've got that piece of shoelace. I said, "Don't you give me that. I want to have that." I have so many memories. You got memories? Do you have memories of fellowship with friends and you remember them? Well, let's think about this. "I thank my God upon every remembrance of you." That ought to be true of your family as well. I want to thank God for family this morning. I have a wonderful family. Regina and I will be married 53 years in just a little while. And God's been good to us. He's blessed us and our children, our grandchildren. I am so thankful for my family. I thank the Lord for what He's done and all the good times we've had. I thank the Lord for my family. Thank the Lord for my mom and my daddy. My daddy never was saved unless he got saved while he was in the hospital just before he died. As far as I know, my daddy only went to church one time in all of his whole life. But I don't know if he ever got saved or not. But if he did, it was in the hospital. Mama said the night he died that he asked her to go out of the room. He said, "I need to talk to God some. I don't know what he did, I don't know what he said. But I don't know if he's in heaven or not. I wish I did." But my dear friend, I thank the Lord for my daddy and thank the Lord for my mama who was saved. I've never had any grandparents. All my grandparents died before I was ever born. But for my brothers, my sister, thank the Lord for his goodness to us. Thank the Lord for my family. You ought to thank the Lord for your family and be thankful. you've been raised in a good Christian home. So many people across this country have no idea what it's like to have a family. They don't have any family. There have been so many children born that didn't know who their natural daddy was. So many broken homes, so many abusive homes. I hear stories and I just shudder about what people are willing to do to little babies. I mean, just how they abuse them and all those things. I thank the Lord for my family. You'll thank God for your family. And it's important that you do that. And this he said, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. And back in the book of Psalms, he said, oh, that men would praise the Lord. You and I ought to praise God for our family. First of all, I want to thank God for the formation of the family. You see, God established the family. In the Garden of Eden, the Bible said he created man, fashioned man in his own image, breathed in his nostrils, breath of life. Man became a living soul. Said he brought all the animals to Adam that he'd named them, and he did every one of those, but Adam didn't find anybody to fellowship with. And so the Bible said God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam and took a rib from his side and formed woman. And then he said this, for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave unto his wife, and they two become one flesh. And then he said to them, be fruitful and multiply, bear children. And they did that. God formulated the family. God established the family. God made the family. It is in God's divine wisdom that he did that. God planned it that way. I'm sure glad he did. I'm sure glad that we have had family. I'm glad I had a mom and a dad. I'm glad I've had brothers and sister. I'm glad I've had relatives, aunts, uncles, and all those. I'm glad God blessed me to have a wonderful wife and children and grandchildren. I'm thankful for that. And you know what? If you didn't have anything else and you got your family, that's what counts. I watched the family of Brother Jimmy there at the hospital, how they came in there with them. And thank God for family. And then for our church family that came and supported them. That's our family. That's our family. We're close to our family. Thank God for the formation. It's in the knowledge and the wisdom of God. And the family was the concept of God. Somebody said, well, I don't need a family. I don't need family. We all need family because God's a lot smarter than we are. And God from the very beginning said it's not good for man to live alone. He gave us the concept or the formation of the family. I'm thankful for the foundation of the family. Foundation of the family is in God's divine wisdom. God ordained it. But the Bible said, under the foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Christ the Lord. I'm thankful for the foundation of my family. My family has a foundation of the Lord Jesus Christ. I said the other day that I went through the Bible. And I was going to, as I preached last Sunday, I was going to give you an illustration of a perfect family in the Bible. I didn't find one. Closest I could find was Zacharias and Elizabeth, the mother of John the Baptist, and, of course, Mary and Joseph. But I couldn't find anybody else through the Bible that I'd consider to be a perfect family. I saw where Abraham and Sarah doubted God. I saw where Moses killed an Egyptian. I saw where David committed adultery. I saw all those things happen in those families throughout the whole Bible. But I found out this, while there's not a perfect family, they worshiped a perfect God. And they knew what it was to repent, what it was to get right with God, and what it was to trust Him. And we're not perfect. You won't ever be a perfect husband or perfect daddy or perfect wife or perfect mother. You won't ever be perfect children. I know you think they are, but you'll find out after a while they're not. I guarantee you will. But you know what? We have a perfect God. And He's taught us to do some things. And I thank God for the foundation. Our foundation is on the Lord Jesus Christ. The foolish man built his house on the sand, but the wise man built his house upon the rock. And when he built his house upon the rock, when the storms came, the rain fell, the house stood firm. And I promise you, every family in here is going through a storm. Every family in here is going through trouble. Every family going through here, you have things happen to your family. You said, that will never happen to my family. And I guarantee it will. I promise you it will. Down the road, it'll happen in your family, and it'll be different. You look at folk and you say, well, if that happened to my family, I'd do this, that, and the other. That won't ever happen to my family. And before dark, it'll probably happen to your family. But I'm going to tell you one thing. If you're on a good foundation, and that foundation is the Lord Jesus Christ, you can say, thank God for the foundation. Thank God for the solid rock, the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank God for the foundation of family. You can have your home built on the Lord Jesus Christ. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. My dear friend, Christ is the foundation of our home. Thank God for the framework of the home. God fashioned it. And he said the husband is to be the head of the wife, and the wife to be submissive, and the children to be obedient to their parents. Now, I've got a long lot of notes on that that I was going to deal with on Wednesday night. You'll have to get that somewhere else down the road. There in the book of Ephesians, there are several commands to the wife, and then there are several to the husband and several to the children. And as I got to going through it and I got looking at those things and what he said that the wife should do in regard to the husband and children, what the husband should do in regard to the wife and children, what the children should do in regard to the mom and dad, it dawned on me. He'd been talking about the fullness of the Holy Spirit of God. And those were commands. And he said the first thing that ought to be affected by your right relationship with God and being filled with the Holy Ghost is your relationship with your husband, your relationship with your wife, your relationship with your children. And if you fail as a daddy, you're a failure. If you fail as a husband, you're a failure. If you fail as a wife, you're a failure. If you fail as a mother, you're a failure. If children don't obey their parents in the Lord, they're a failure in regard to God's command. We think about breaking God's command. We think about lying, cheating, stealing, adultery, stealing, all those things. But he said, here it is, when you're filled with the Holy Ghost of God, wives, husbands ought to love their wives as Christ loved the church. And if you don't love your wife as Christ loved the church, you're a failure in the eyes of God. That's what he gave you the fullness of the Holy Spirit of God for. You know why? Because he said that husband, he said, no man ever, if you love your wife, you love yourself, and no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourish and cherish it. And he said, I speak to you a mystery, but nevertheless, I speak to him about Christ and his church. Do you know your home ought to represent the body of Christ? Your home ought to be like the relationship of the church to Christ and Christians to Christ. And if we don't learn to have the right kind of framework and honor God and live for God, I don't care what else we accomplish in life. In God's estimation, we're a failure. I thank God for the framework, the way he put it. I thank God for the function of the family. Boy, it's nothing like family. I love gospel music, and I hear sometimes from time to time people who play in certain type of music, they play somebody like the Chuck Wagon Gang or the Lewis family or some of those old-time groups, they sing the Goodman family. And I've heard them make this statement over and over again. It said, nobody can sing like family. I mean, when you get family together, they live together, you think about the Rochester, some of our favorite groups are all families. Do you know that? The Rochester family, we just had Mark Parson, his family here, the Ollis family. Man, when that family's in harmony, boy, it's something in it. And God intended for it to be that way at every house. God intended the function of that family. They all singing their part. They all doing their part. I wrote these just simple little things. The function of the family, number one, is to love. Love. The Bible said the fruit of the Holy Spirit of God, number one, is love. And that family is in that home, regardless of where you go around the world and whatever experiences you have, when you come in that home, you need to feel love. You ought to experience love. You ought to demonstrate love. That's what the function of that family is all about, loving one another, loving and being part of the family. And my dear friend, your husbands loving wives, wives loving her, loving children, loving grandchildren. And that's what it's all about. That home ought to be representative of Christ in love. But it's also a place of learning. It's a place of learning. It's where the Bible said, train up a child the way he should go when he's old and not depart from it. It's a place where he said, you talk with them as you go in the way. I heard them, they was talking about talking to your kids about drugs, alcohol, whatever, and it's, you don't have to be a big drama. It's an everyday thing. That don't mean they're going to listen to you. But what you do is it's an everyday thing. Just while you're walking, he said, while you're walking in the way, you talk to them about the Word of God. That's what I was saying about Ted James. That preacher made such an impact in my life years and years ago when I was just a young boy. Jesus was real to him. Whether he had on a flannel shirt or a suit and tie, Jesus was real to him. Whether he was playing ball or whether he was preaching, Jesus was real. He didn't change from the ball field to the pulpit. He was just the same, always the same. And my dear friend, it's a place of learning. Kids learn by watching. Kids learn by watching. We pray, and Becky and John pray with the boys. But they said the other day, because we've been with them pretty much since they were born, trying to help babysit them first thing or another, and always said a blessing with them. And John and Becky do too. But they were somewhere the other day, up in Melissa's or somewhere, and I wasn't there, and they got ready to pray, and they said something about, I think Jim or somebody asked a blessing, and Tam said, no, Papa. Papa's supposed to pray. I remember our little girl, Christy, just before she died. My mama didn't tell me until after she died. But she spent the night with my mama one night, and she said Christy crawled up, she wasn't quite 3 years old. She crawled up into bed, and she pulled Mama's big old black Bible. Mama kept it on the back of her bed, had one of the bookcase beds, pulled a black Bible down, sat in the middle of the bed. When Mama turned around, she was sitting there, and she had it. She said, Grandma, read to me about Jesus like my daddy does. Children learn not just what you say, but what you do and how you live. And they listen to what you say, and they listen to how you say it, and they'll repeat that. They'll repeat what you say. You'll catch them with little phrases that you've heard. I hate to mention about my grandchildren, not bad, but I do hate to mention about them all the time. But they are sports fans. They like the Panthers. The boys love the Panthers. John loves the Panthers. And I don't know where they picked it up, but they got this little phrase now. Oh, come on. I got it. It's probably directed towards some referees or somebody, you know. Oh, come on, man. You know that was a completed pass. But they're doing this oh, come on business now. Oh, come on. They listen to what you say. It's a place of learning. It's you ought to train them, but I'm going to tell you, they watch you, and they listen to you, and they learn from you how to react. They learn to you how to express love. They learn so many things from you. The home is a place of learning. It's a place of loving. It's a place of leaning. It's a place where you learn to depend on one another and lean on me. I know that's a worldly song that I hear them sing, but lean on me. I like that song because that's where you learn to lean. You learn to lean on your family in times of sorrow, times of heartache, troubled time, difficult time. It's a place of learning to lean, learning to lean on one another, but learning to lean on Jesus. Thank God for that. Thank God for the companionship in the family. Thank God for commitment in family. And thank God for the comedy in family. I don't know about your house, but ours is a riot, praise God. Merry heart doeth good like a medicine. If you've got kids and you've got anybody around, you ought to laugh every now and then. It'll do you good. Oh, we're living in dark days, serious days. I understand all that. We ought to carry a burden. We ought to pray. But he said we ought to have joy unspeakable, full of glory, and it's good for God's people to laugh. You've got enough people around, you'll laugh. Church families, I've been around all my life. I love to laugh, cut up with them. We just love to laugh. And I thank the Lord for our family. So many memories, I could think back about things that they've done and laugh. We pick at young'uns. I remember when Melissa was getting ready to go to school. She had to go get some shots. And I told her, I said, you tell that doctor, when you go in there now, you want a vocabulary shot. And so she told him she wanted a vocabulary shot. But things happen, little things happen. They do little things, they say things that just live with you forever. Remember, we had time this morning, we could all talk about that our family being a place of laughter. And that's where you ought to have laughter at. You ought to be able to laugh together and weep together and have a good time. So many good times we've had together. I shared some things about Brother Jimmy yesterday, and somebody was telling me about how he loved to pick on people around, things he used to do. Others who loved to do that. And Terry Thompson, bad to do that. Good to do that, one or the other. I don't know what it is. But good for people to laugh, isn't it? We ought to laugh. And a home ought to be a place of laughter as well as leaning, loving, and all those things. I thank God for the family, not only the foundation of the family and the function of the family, but I want to thank God for the future of the family. You say, Brother Billy, our nation's changing so, and Mayberry's gone forever. I know that. The culture's changed. One of the great preachers in our nation said the other day that we've lost the culture. Our culture is gone. The old-time culture of America's never going to be the same. But I'll tell you something. The Lord Jesus Christ formed two things. He formed, number one, the church. He said, Simon Peter, who do men say that I am? He said, you're the Christ. Some say you're the Christ, or prophet. So he said, who do you say that I am? Simon Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And he said, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, flesh and blood didn't reveal that to you, but my Father which is in heaven. And upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. I used to think when I was a little boy that the church would die out. To be sure, after a while, people get tired of coming and sit and listen to somebody talk like you're doing to me this morning. To be sure, they get tired of having the choir sing and reading out of the Bible. Sooner or later, everybody get tired of that. Well, a lot of them have, a lot of them left. But there's a lot of you here this morning. A lot of you here. There's people that lived 25 years ago, 30 years ago, 50 years ago. They didn't believe you'd be here today. But yet, here you are. You know why? Because of Him. Because of Him. He established the church. My dear friend, it'll be here till Jesus comes and raptured out of here. I'll tell you something else. He established family. He established the home. And I'll tell you, there'll be homes here until Jesus comes. And I thank God for the future of it. We may not win this world of Christ, but you can win your family. And you may not have a Christian atmosphere out in the world where you are, Cary or Raleigh or wherever you are. My dear friend, you can have it at your house. You can have just the same type of spirit they had back in the 1800s, 1600s. He's still God. The Bible's still real. You can still worship Him. You can still rejoice. You can still pray. You can still spend time together. I'm thankful that in 2017 and in 2018 and until Jesus comes, you can still have a Christian home. You can still have joy in your home. You can still have peace in your home because He's still the same. He's the head. He's God. He's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we ever ask. And the future of our homes look right, bright, if we'll look to the light. If you look to Him, you can still have it. You can still have a good home. You can still have a good life. You can still enjoy the blessings of God. Oh, all of us would love to go live on top of a mountain somewhere or down to the beach somewhere and get away from all this crowd. But my dear friend, you can have it right where you are. You can have a little oasis right where you are in your home. When you walk inside that home, it can be what God intended it to be if the people in that home will look to Christ. He said, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. And He said, in every prayer of mine, I make requests with joy. You ought to thank God every day for your family. Thank God for your background. I'm sure glad that God allowed me to be born in America. I'm sure glad that I had a praying mama. I'm sure glad that I had friends around me and family around me who love God. I'm thankful. I'm thankful for the future of the family. Now, the thing is this, it's like anything else. You can have a wonderful, you can live forever in heaven. He's not willing that any should perish. But yet He stood on a mountain and overlooked Jerusalem and He wept. And He said, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that stonest the prophets, how oft would I gather you together as a hen gathers her chicks, but you would not come to me, that you might have life. You can have it this morning. You can have a happy home. You have a Christian home. You say, we've made so many messes in our past. He's good at cleaning up messes. He's good at mending broken hearts. He's good at putting marriages back together, putting homes back together. If you'll come and give yourself to Him, He can do it. He is a home builder. He'll build you. Build your home. Thank God for family. And during this time of Thanksgiving, I want you to thank the Lord for your family and ask God to bless them. In every mention of your prayers, make requests with joy. Learn to pray for your family. Will you bow your heads for just a moment of prayer this morning with every head bowed, every eye closed? So many things we're to thank God for, but you'll thank God for your family. We have in our church a good many widowers. We have a good many widows whose husband or whose wife has gone to be with the Lord. Some of them have children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren. But I'm glad that if you're in this building this morning and you are a widow or a widower, that if you don't have natural family, as Ms. Mary said a while ago, you don't have family living close by, I'm glad you can find a family here at Benson Grove Baptist Church. You'll find brothers and sisters who will love you, who will be there to help you. I've been here 20 years. I've never pastored a church anywhere. And I've been pastoring 50 years. Never pastored a church anywhere that I thought had a bigger heart than this church. They'll love you. And you don't have to be a certain name. You don't have to be a certain color. They'll love you just like you are. And you can have a great family here in this church. You've been praying about a church family. Here's where you ought to be. I'm glad if you're here, you're a single young person. Maybe you have never been married. Maybe you've been divorced. And I'm glad that you can have a family right here. And I'm glad that more than anything, if you're lost, you can find a family. First of all, you'd be in the greatest family of all. That is the family of God. The way you get in that family is just like you got in your natural family. You have to be born, but you have to be born again. You have to get born again to get into that natural family. Then you become part of a wonderful family. You have a heavenly Father who knows what things you have need of before you ever ask Him, who makes a promise to you, I'll meet every one of your needs according to my riches and glory by Christ Jesus. You'll have the Savior who loved you and died for you, the Holy Spirit of God who made a promise, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. And He said, lean not to your own understanding in all thy ways. I'll acknowledge Him. And He said, I'll direct your path. You can't beat that deal. I mean, they'll never leave you, never forsake you. And they'll help you. They'll meet all your needs. But you've got to turn your life over to them. You just got to surrender to the Lord Jesus Christ. You've got to accept Him as your Savior and Lord. And if you've been saved, but you're out of fellowship with Him, you need to get right with Him. He said, if you'll confess your sin, He's willing to forgive you, cleanse you from all unrighteousness. You can have a fresh start this morning. On this Thanksgiving Day, I want to ask you, are you thankful for your family? I want to stand together. I'm going to pray. Brad may come sing a song. And he'll be a little away from his family for a few minutes. I'll be away from mine. But first of all, as we're praying this morning, I want you to take a few minutes right now and thank the Lord for your family. Some of you, your mom and dad are not living like my parents are not living now. But you still ought to thank the Lord for them. If they're here in the building, you ought to go to them and thank them personally for loving you, being a good mom and dad. You ought to tell your wife or your husband that you love them, children, grandchildren. Let's just thank the Lord for them and for one another for a few minutes this morning during the invitation. Maybe families want to come around the altar together. I'm thankful that God's good to us, and I know that many of you, like Ms. Mary said a while ago, this is your family. And I want to tell you, if you're a visitor, a guest, or you're listening to the media audience, it's not just an exclusive club here. It is an inclusive body of Christ. Every person, makes no difference what background you came from, or what culture, what color, you're welcome here because Jesus loved you and died for you. We want you to be a part. He wants you to be a part of His family. And what a wonderful family it is. I don't know what you need to do this morning. I've just had that little thought in my heart all week long. I'm thankful for my family. I am thankful for my family. God's been so good to me. Maybe you want to thank Him. Maybe you want to come around the altar and pray together as a family. Take a few minutes, hug somebody close to you, your family, your wife, your husband, your children, your grandchildren. Go to your mom, dad, grandparents, tell them you love them. Thank the Lord for them. Heavenly Father, I am so thankful for your mercy and grace. And God, I pray the Holy Ghost of God this morning, Lord, you've been so good to us. We could never, ever quit thanking you for the physical blessings of life or for the spiritual blessings of life. But our Father, what a wonderful blessing that you gave us family. Thank you for our family. Thank you for those parents and grandparents in days gone by who loved us and were patient with us, and we messed up more than once, but they still loved us and prayed for us. Thank you, our Father, for Lord blessing us now in this present hour with our families. And God, help us to be a good example and know that our children, our grandchildren learn not just by what we say, but by how we live. And I pray, God, they'll see a good example. I pray, God, the Holy Ghost to help us to be thankful for our church family. Lord, on what we'd do, I know our Father, when our first daughter died, that on what we'd ever done hadn't been for our church family. And Lord, a testimony in this church over and over again is not only their real natural families, but this church family stood with them through dark days. I thank you for family. And I pray, God, the Holy Ghost now bless this time together.